But, all right, does anybody know what situational awareness is? What is situational awareness? You might tell me. Yeah.
To be aware of what is going around.
Yeah. To be aware of, thank you, to be aware of the situation. Right? It kind of makes sense. It's not a trick question at all. So situational awareness is something that you have to do. It is a way to train yourself to be able to pay attention to what is happening around you. And so this is something that a lot of law enforcement, a lot of military, people who like to be very protecting of others, people who like to watch out for others, they have to make sure to be very situationally aware. One of the best schools of thought for situational awareness is called the OODA loop. Everybody say that with me. OODA loop. All right, it stands for four things. And we are going to talk about those. And what we are going to do is we are not going to be situationally aware of just anything, but we are going to be spiritually situationally aware. So our first step in our OODA loop is observe. All right, if we are going to do anything, if we are going to be aware of our situation, we have to be able to learn how to take in information. We have to be paying attention to things in a very specific way. So, otherwise, you have to see it. Right, if you don't see it, you don't really have anything. Thank you. You don't really have anything you can do about it if you can't see it. So, in a part of our observations are our unfolding circumstances. Where we have a lot of different unfolding circumstances. Right, spiritually, that could be loss of a loved one. Right, have y'all had friends who made a bad decision? And then that decision starts to cause them lots of trouble? Now, you could have family trouble. You could have stress with school, an argument with your friends, personal sin. Right, there's all kinds of unfolding circumstances. Yeah. There's constantly... Didn't you hand me this box of answers?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's all kinds of different unfolding circumstances. There are things that are constantly happening to us that we have to try to figure out how to deal with. There's constantly things bothering us, and there's constantly things bothering our friends. Hey, if you guys can't read it, don't worry about it too much. Don't stress about it. There's not a test. So if you guys can't read them, just listen to my words, and it will guide you to the things that it says. We have all kinds of unfolding circumstances in our lives that bother us, bother our friends, things we have to keep our eyes open for. All right, I want y'all to turn over to Matthew chapter 25 if you've got a Bible with you. All right, there's a really important text I want us to pay attention to here. Can I have somebody read verses 31 through 46 of Matthew 25 for me? It's a little bit of a long section. Go for it. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Read aloud.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit at his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come and be you who are blessed by the Father. And here I come to prepare for you. From the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was stranger and you loved me. I was making you clothing. I was sick and you gave me food. I was in prison and you prayed for me. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and prison and disease? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.
Actually, go ahead and pause there for just a second. So, we have a judgment scene. The Son of Man is going to come and he's going to separate people into the goats and the sheep. Alright, who do you think the goats are? Alright, how many of y'all have ever seen a sheep? How many of y'all have seen sheep? Have y'all ever seen a baby sheep? Alright, how many of y'all would like to hold or cuddle a baby sheep? I'm absolutely down for that. How many of y'all have seen a goat? Or how many of y'all have seen a baby goat? Now, baby goats are cute, aren't they? Are adult goats cute? Getting a lot of resounding no's, right? What is off-putting about goats? Because I've got something that I know makes goats really off-putting to me. Their eyes. They're like weird little, like, rectangular, like, cylinders. And they make those horrible sounds. Goats are really, really gross. and goats are not good. So you've got the sheep on the right, because they are right, and then you've got the goats on the left. So we've got the sheep that are good, we've got the goats that are bad. He starts to separate these things out, and he picks the people who he says are sheep, and he says, come follow me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was sick, you took care of me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And what are the people, what are these sheep? How do they respond?
When did we do that?
When did we do that? I don't remember doing that for you. I don't remember making that happen. And what is Jesus' response to them? In verse 40, what's his response? What is the king's response to these sheep? If you did this for somebody else, you essentially did this for me. And we're talking about people who've got their eyes open and are paying attention. But I'll save you from reading the rest of it. I'll carry on in verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, the goats, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. But conversely, on the other side, you're going to have people who he says, hey, look at all the things you didn't do. Look at all the times you never fed. The times you never gave me anything to drink. The times you never really seemed to care about me very much. They have the exact same response. Whoa, Lord, I don't remember seeing you sick. I don't remember seeing you in need of care. If you saw somebody, if you saw Jesus, and he needed your help, would you help him? Right, obviously, we would help Jesus. Right, in the same way that Joe was preaching about the rich young ruler and said, let's modernize this, right? If you see Elon Musk needing help, would you help him? If you see Taylor Swift needing help, would you help her? Right, okay, we've got something to say now. Right? But if we saw somebody famous, if we saw somebody really important, we would want to help that person immediately. I can't imagine myself helping that person, so if there's something I can do, I want to do it. But it's the least of these where it becomes a problem. And it becomes a problem because we don't have our eyes trained to see it. We don't have our eyes trained to pay attention to it. All right, one of the important things that we have to take in as we are studying our observations, as we are looking at the world, is we have to make sure to remember our rules of engagement. What are our rules of engagement? I think it was like a TV show for a while, wasn't it? Like David Spade in or something. Okay. Surprised anybody remembered that, right? But what are rules of engagement as far as this is concerned? Right, our rules of engagement is that when combatants, right, when enemies go out into warfare, into battle, they have certain rules that they are allowed to follow. They have certain things they have to do. They have certain ways that they go about things to ensure that they go about it in a proper way, in a proper sense. So we've got a couple of those that we'll look at here in Matthew. Can I get somebody to turn to Matthew 22? Who wants to turn to... Okay, Matthew 22. Somebody else get Matthew 7? Matthew 7. And then Matthew 25.
I already read from that idea. I don't want you to read again.
Matthew 25. Who else? Thank you. All right. Whoever... Matthew 22, 37 through 40, if you could read that for me.
And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Perfect. Oh, sorry, go ahead. Oh, was that the end of it? I thought that was the end of it.
Wait, that's still it.
Okay, no, thank you. I appreciate it. All right, so you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first commandment. And what is the second commandment that comes with it? Love your neighbor as yourself. So the very first and foremost, when we think about how we are to engage with other people, we have to be paying attention to, am I loving God and am I loving others? We can boil it down into that, most simply. All right, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, It's going to be verses 9 through 12.
Well, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a serpent? Or if he asks for fish, give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets.
Right, perfect. So, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What do we call that?
Golden.
The golden rule. Right, the golden rule. If you want someone to treat you with kindness, how should you treat them? With kindness, right? We have been trained on this rule forever. We've been trained on this rule since we were just little babies, since we were little kids. So we know that one very well. Matthew 25:45 for me.
Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.
Alright, again, if you did not take care of someone else, you have not taken care of me. A part of our relationship with Christ, and a lot of people would like to tell you that you can have a personal relationship with Christ and you don't have to answer to anyone else. Is that true? Can we have a relationship with God alone and not have that bleed over into our other relationships? Pretty clearly is not, right? Because if we are not taking care of others, if we are not taking care of the people around us, we are not taking care of our relationship with God. Right? So on the other side of this, we have our rules of engagement. We have the ways that we are going to go about things, and we are going to try to reach out to people. But there's also information coming from the outside. There's information coming from the world around us that is telling people to do something different with the circumstances that they are observing. Right? Our world tells us to do one thing. Right, the people around us, our peers, our friends, tell us to do something else. And then we, of course, have what is most comfortable. So we have two competing different ways to go about the situations that we come across. And so I want you guys to thinking about these scriptures, thinking about what we know right now, I want you to think about how can I be more observant? How can I pay attention more to the things around me? But we can't only observe the world. We can't only take in information, because if we don't know what to do with that information, well, then all we can say is, hey, I see that situation over there. That person needs help. Okay, I know that. All right, now I'm just going to go over here. I'm going to do something else. Right? If we don't do anything with it, what is the point in observing it? So we have to then orient ourselves to our observations. We have to see what is happening, and then I have to decide how to position myself, how to get it, how to understand it well enough to do something with it. And we have a couple of things that help point us towards that, a few things that help orient us to our surroundings. All right, but somebody go to John chapter 13 for me real quick. All right, who wants it? Am I going to have to just go around the room and make everybody read? John 13, 13 through 16, three verses.
Three verses.
You got it? Okay, perfect. John 13, 13 through 16, real quick.
You call me teacher and Lord, and you are, for so I am. If I am the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than his messenger.
All right, perfect. So, in John chapter 13, we get an excellent story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet before he is to go and to die. And so he is washing their feet, and as he washes their feet, he tells them, I've now washed your feet. I've taken care of you. Did Jesus deserve to wash their feet? No, foot washing was not a great sought after job, right? If I said, hey, I know I asked some of y'all to read, but I need somebody to now go and wash everybody's feet, or I need somebody to go ahead and do the laundry for everybody, who's going to sign up for that? Say what? You're going to sign up for it? Okay, we have a taker. Wow, that is a first. And we have somebody who would take on that task. All right, nobody wants to do that because it's a big job, it's a dirty job, and nobody wants to have to deal with that. Understandably so. But we get the example of Jesus. If Jesus was willing to serve all of us as the Son of God, What frees me from being willing to serve other people? And second off, we have our example of Scripture. We have a knowledge of Scripture that helps assist us in orienting ourselves. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right, I'll flip over and read that one. People who are shy to read, it's okay. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we have been blessed with a Scripture here, with a book that is absolutely uncommon to humanity. And that is because it is a book that is very well supported, a book that has stood the test of time, a book that has been translated into so many different languages, and it's almost unbelievable. How often do y'all go to your Bible when you're faced with a problem? How many of y'all have a problem and the first place you go is to the Bible? Can I be honest with you guys? I'm with you. All right, so many times I have a problem, I have an issue, and my first place to go is not Scripture. The first thing I think about is not something I've studied, but it's something that seems more comfortable to me. It's something that somebody else has recommended of me. It's something that the world around me says, hey, that's what you should do in that situation. That's how you should handle that. All right, that person wronged you. Tell them off. That person wronged you. Cut them off. Don't talk to them anymore. All right, somebody treated you rudely. Treat them rudely. All right, but Scripture gives us something else. It's here to guide you, but you have to read it and you have to know it. If somebody hands you a map and you throw it in the trash, it doesn't do you any good to have the map, does it? Or if you have this map and you treat it with extreme care and you fold it up so nicely so that it has just the perfect creases and you put it in your pocket and you treat it safe and you never leave home without it and it always stays in your pocket, is that map any good to you? No. If you have a very nice wallet and you have it in your pocket all the time, or if you have the most beautiful purse, girls, I'm guessing here, so please be nice to me, right? If you have the nicest, you have the nicest wallet, you have the nicest purse or whatever, if you leave the purse on the hook or your wallet's got no money, is it doing you any good?
Well, it's just a thing in pocket or whatever those things are made of.
Right, or it might even be out of leather. But if it's got no money, it's not going to do you any good, right? So we've got the Bible. It's here for you. It's got the Bible. It's got the knowledge that you need, but you have to read it. You have to know it. If you do not know it, you're going to get in a situation and you're not going to be able to orient yourself. Not only that, if you've been baptized, you have the Holy Spirit. You have a part of God's Spirit living inside of you. Right, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14 here. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Seem mind-blowing? Isn't that kind of crazy? The thing that a part of God is always with you and is always guiding you? Right? Forget about Garmin. Forget about I can't believe I just said Garmin. Y'all know what that is. Right? Forget about your Apple Maps. Forget about your Google Maps. Right? You've got a part of God guiding you from the inside of you. Why would you not use that? Why would you not rely on that? Right, in the same way that if you have a very nice map and you keep it in your pocket and you never read it, if you pull up your GPS on your phone and you set it to a destination and then you turn your phone off and throw it in the back of your car, is it doing you any good? Hey, man, I've got Apple Maps on my phone. That's awesome. I didn't type in the destination, but I've got it. Right, hey, isn't this awesome that I have this? I don't ever use it. Super cool. I'm super glad to have it. You've got to rely on it. You have to let it push us. Right? Not only that, you have this entire room of people. Right? Y'all are from how many different congregations do we have in here? Right, where are y'all? So we have Watermill over here. If you're from Watermill, raise your hand. All of Watermill went to one place. Okay. Hey, I like it. Y'all got group mentality. I respect it. Alright, who else do we have? Johnson? Oh, it's Bella Vista, right?
Yes, Johnson.
Oh, Johnson? Alright, we got Bella Vista. Bella Vista in the house? Yeah? Alright, we got South Point in the house. Alright, where are y'all from? In the back.
Barnsey?
Mountain Home?
Yep. Alright, perfect. So we've got a bunch of different groups, right? We could put hundreds of miles between some of our groups. And yet, even though we have all that distance, we can get together like this, and we are still all equally a body of the exact same church, even if we live in different places and worship in different places every single week. All right, the church body is enormous. It is a huge network of people who you can ask questions to and who you can rely on and who will always assist you. Wouldn't you want to use that? Wouldn't you want to take advantage of that? If we all work together, can't we get a lot further than if we all just work independently? Galatians chapter 3. What's up? Yeah, absolutely. 26 through 28 for me. All of us are one in Christ Jesus. All of us have been given the same level of importance. One of us is not more important than the other. One of us does not gain something that the other doesn't. We're all different people, right? We're not all the same. But in God's eyes, we are all loved the same. So, let's work together. Let's not let things divide us, but let's be unified through the gift that we have in Christ. And then finally, we have prayer. All right, we have a direct line to God that has not always been there. All right, Jesus serves as our intercessor. Jesus serves as someone who is going to God on our behalf. And we can check in with him. We can speak to him. We can grow closer to him anytime we want. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. All right, I love this line of the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Have y'all ever just been in a situation and something bad has happened and you have no idea what to say or how to react to it? Have y'all just been utterly just... I'm just looking around like, I don't even know what to do now. All right, I have a son who is now 7 months old. And a couple of times, I have to be at church a little earlier than my wife. And my wife has pulled into the parking lot and said, hey, I need you to come out to the parking lot right now. So I race out to the parking lot. And she says, so the baby's had a blowout and his clothes are covered in poop. And that's one of those situations where you just look at the car seat and you see the baby covered in poop all over his nice church outfit, and you just stare at it, and you just go, where do you start? What do you do? Right? You're there at church. There's no clothes in the bag. Right? We're first-time parents, so give us a pass here. Right? We don't have extra clothes, and so we're just staring at this going, I don't know what to do here. Right? Eventually, you have to make a decision. You have to do something. But in the same way, we look at spots in our life, we look at situations, we observe things, and sometimes I have no idea how to orient myself to this. I have no idea how to position myself to do something about this. And so prayer comes in, and God is able to understand things about us that we can't quite communicate, that we couldn't use words to describe if we wanted to. So we see situations. We see them, we're paying attention for them. All right, we've positioned ourselves, we've set ourselves up to understand what is happening. But that is ultimately going to lead us to a point where we have to decide. right? When I see a situation, when I understand what is going on, when I understand what is happening, there has to be a decision. I've got to figure it out. Right, one of the things that we're often not afforded when it comes to decisions is sometimes we are not afforded the ability to take a long time to decide. How many of y'all have had to make a really fast decision? Make a choice really quickly. All right, somebody tell me about a really quick choice they had to make. Aha, I went from like all hands to no hands almost immediately.
You know, just like playing sports, you have to just make
basketball. Okay, what sport do you play?
Volleyball.
Volleyball. Okay, that's a good one. Because I'm really bad at volleyball. So I can imagine when that ball comes over the net and it is coming at you, you have to decide, am I going to get this one or does the person beside me need to get this? How many of y'all have made that mistake before? I got it, and then you realize, I don't got it. But I've said I got it. And so because I've said I've got it, this person has to, like, back off, or they need to come get it if I'm not going to get it. So at that point, we have to make a very fast decision. What helps you make that decision correctly and quickly?
Communication.
Communication. Right, but you practice volleyball a lot, right? You practice volleyball. You know your team. Sorry, what'd you say?
Experience.
Experience. Right, the more that I practice, the more that I see a volleyball coming towards me, the more I'm able to decide, that's in my range, that's out of my range, that's mine, that's not mine. I can make that decision quickly. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3. In the same way, when it comes to the decisions that we have to make as Christians living in a world that we have to live in and be a part of and make decisions in, the more that we know on the front end, the faster we are able to make the right decision faster. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. We are supposed to always be ready to have an answer. We are supposed to always be prepared. How many of y'all have tests coming up in school soon? All right, how many of y'all have already studied for those tests? Well, we got a couple of studious people. Right, why have the rest of you, why have you... All right, James 2:19. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not faith alone. In the same way also, was not Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For also, the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Right? We cannot just hear, we cannot just understand, we cannot just make decisions. We have to be willing to act on those decisions constantly. And the way that this is set up is this is supposed to be a loop. Right? We observe what is going on. We have situated ourselves to be able to understand it. We make our decision. We make an action. And then what do we do next? Go right back to observations. We go right back to looking at things, knowing what is happening, understanding it, making decisions, and acting constantly. In this way, we can increase our situational spiritual awareness, and in this way, we can better understand and act in a world that feels like it has the deck stacked against us. Thanks a lot, guys. We are out of time. Go ahead and go on to your next class. I appreciate y'all being here. Y'all have a good one.